Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Audible. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 40 for March the 20th, 2012, from the Last Man Standing set and the Wind System demo.
Welcome to Ham Nation. Gordo here, WB6NOA. Bob is taking a quick break doing a concert gig, and he'll be back next week. And we have an exciting program for you tonight. And just wait till you see all the stuff that's going to go on. And for our listeners only, you're going to hear more great radio sounds than you would believe. We are here with John Amadeo, NN6 Juliet Alpha, at his studio, Last Man Standing. Well, John, where in the world did you ever get the idea to get Mike Baxter involved with Ham Radio on his great show?
Well, thanks, Gordo. This is a lot of fun for us. When I first met Tim and we started talking about the show and his character, he's a bit of a survivalist and a hunter, camper, fisher. And I said, what about radio? And he said, oh, yeah, ham radio. My character would be a ham radio operator. So I had that in my past, and I reached back into my past and said, well, if we're going to put ham radio equipment on the set, perhaps we could make it real and make it practical, make it work. So we did that. We had, through the good graces of Ray Novak at ICOM, we got a little ham radio gear out here that was real. And MixVortech over at Comet sent us an antenna, and Bob Heil sent us a wonderful Heil microphone. Hooked it all up, turned it all on, and showed it to Tim. And Tim, of course, a big smile on his face. He was very happy about that. And we found that since we have about, I think now we have 12 hams on the show.
Wow.
People have gotten their ham licenses. Technical people, but also my office staff. Not that they were coerced or anything, but, you know, they've got their licenses. In any case, because we had the gear and the gear worked and we had all these ham radio operators, we thought, well, then why not use the stuff? So we started creating radio events live from our stage. This is the biggest and most important one to me because you're here tonight. It's so good. And we're live on Ham Nation, which is a show that I watch and watched long before Mike Baxter was born or thought of. Yeah, I went to the ARRL and I had the ARRL guys, mostly Alan Pitts, who helped me with the call sign. It was a little hard thing to put a call sign on the air that is not real. This was a fictitious call sign, KE0XTT. It's fictitious, so we can use it. It's clear for the use on here. And created this station that you see behind me. A lot of people's QSL cards are up there. We created a program where if you send us a QSL card, Tim Allen will sign it, not as Mike Baxter, but as Tim Allen, and we return a Tim Allen-signed Mike Baxter QSL card. We've had a pretty good response. We're probably at about 1,500 QSL.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been good. And maybe we'll get a few more tonight from this broadcast. I don't know. So far, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun for me personally. It's been a lot of fun for the crew that are ham radio operators. I think a few non-hams have gotten their license because of the radio aspect of the show. I think the viewing public, especially the Ham Nation audience, has tuned into our ham theme. And they seem to really, really like it.
Well, that's great. Well, John, thank you so much for letting us do our Ham Nation podcast tonight here at the stage. And, oh, my gosh, look who's there. Ray Novak just wandered in off the street. Ray is the one that came up with this great equipment. Now, Ray, what a deal to get all this radio gear in here live and not actually cause interference to the rest of their electronics. What do we got for antennas?
Dummy loads.
No, we don't. No. They make some good stations.
No, we've got a Comet dipole upstairs
that's
on a rotor to get some of the low bands, and then also a GP1 for their VHF and UHF stuff.
Ah, and that's how we're accessing the wind system today from this live stage. Well, Ray, we appreciate all the hard work that N9JA, that you put in on this. And how exciting to have ham radio featured on this show, huh?
Oh, most definitely. And just to get the word out there of what great hobby this is, it's going to be beneficial for everybody in the hobby.
It is. Well, thank you, Ray, so much for making all this great radio equipment happening. And in the background is Julian Frost, N3JF. Now, Julian is the one that's been making all the wiring here happening. Well, he's had some help from the supervising engineer, Tim, November 6, Quebec, Juliet. But Julian, N3JF, a labyrinth of wires, and it all works, huh?
Yeah, amazing. Truly amazing. A few headaches to begin with, but boy, it's worth it in the end. You wouldn't see, I mean, it looks good, just like it does on TV, but here we have lights, we have computers, we have sound equipment, we have mixers. Tim, ooh, N6QJ, loaned me this so that it's a frequency monitor there so that we can spectrum analyze it.
Spectrum analyzer. Look at this. Mm. Hey, Ham Bones, would you like to have that? This is going to be great, huh? A portable spectrum analyzer. Oh, sorry about
thank
that.
Thank you. It's actually...
Hold on there, Julian.
Here comes Tim to take back
Sorry, Tim.
I need my toys, too.
I know. Tim, take a seat, man.
No, wait. Now, Tim, what do you spectrum analyze here at the Mike Baxter stage? What are you looking for on that spectrum analyzer?
This one, I'm just looking for the radio mics to make sure that they aren't going to jam anything.
Okay.
Make sure that the little wireless lobs and stuff don't interfere with any of the other shows that we have here on the lot.
Wow. And how big is this entire lot that you're in charge of? For
the radio-wise, it's a 44-acre lot.
44 acres of radio land. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you letting us into the studio tonight, nice equipment. Anyway, from all of us at Ham Nation, thanks so much, Tim, for joining us.
Thanks, Tim.
And they're going to be fighting for that portable multi-$1,000 spectrum analyzer. By the way, for our Ham Nation viewers and listeners, when you send in your QSL card for Mike Baxter, KA0 X-ray Tango Tango's card, be sure you send along a self-addressed stamped envelope, and that'll speed up the process. Because as you can tell, they've got a lot of cards, and these have already been taken care of, but there's an equal stack just as large. Well, tonight is very special in that this broadcast, a Ham Nation, is going all over the world, not only as a Ham Nation broadcast, but via the WIN system. And the WIN system with Susan and Shorty is going to do a demo just to see how many folks are live on the WIN system. So, Shorty, K6JSI, and Susan, K6SLS, I think I got that right. I'm going to turn it over to you. Got about 15 minutes to, as a champ in the world, on the WIN system. Shorty, over to you, and then we'll turn it over, and we'll go back to George. In fact, just before we go to you, George, are you tuned in and your soldering iron ready for this WIN system demo, George?
The soldering iron is ready, Gordo. I'm all set up here. I don't know the frequency, though, or how to connect, so I'm going to have to listen to Shorty and learn a little bit about that.
Roger on that. Okay, George, and we'll see you in a few minutes to see what we're going to smoke and solder next. All right, let's now go to Susan and Shorty for our WIN system demo, live from the Last Man Standing stage, but live on the WIN system. Susan and Shorty.
Thank you very much, Gordo, and what a wonderfully warm welcome. We really appreciate that. I'm going to let my wife, Susan, introduce herself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Susan, K6SLS, and I have been a ham since 1995, and I would like to encourage the women to get their ham license and to get on the air soon.
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 You heard it. Mom spoke. Well, she's the real driving force behind the WIN system, and she certainly keeps me going. So thank you, Susan. I appreciate your quick words. a little bit about the wind system, and we'll get into that live demonstration. We're a two-way ham radio system consisting of about 90 repeaters, more or less. I think we're really at 91 right now, but it goes up and down. It's hard to keep track. But we link all of these repeaters together. We're in something like 16 states and three countries around the world. And we basically, it's a huge party line. Everyone that can talk into a repeater can be heard on all of the other repeaters. So it's just one giant party line. We've been in existence for about 22 years now, and we just continue to keep growing. I'm actually talking to you live and direct from my home in Smith River, which is 5 miles south of the Oregon border. But I have a couple of wind system repeaters right here, and you can go to our website, windsystem.org, and you can find out more about the wind system. Click on the repeaters list, and that will give you an up-to-the-date listing of all of our repeaters. And we do something on the wind system called a wind system demonstration. And when somebody calls for that, what happens is that hams check in with their name, their call sign, and their location. And we're kind of doing a special wind system demo today so that we can get the four corners of the United States. Plus, I think we'll pick on somebody in the middle of the U.S. Then we're going to hit some states outside of the continental United States, because we've got radios in Alaska and in Hawaii. And then we're going to go to London, England, and talk to a cabbie there. We're going to go to Tokyo, Japan, and talk with Yo there. And then we're going to a couple of places in Australia, Melbourne and Sydney. And then we're going to kind of throw it open and let maybe whoever would like to check in, check in. So why don't we go ahead and give that a try and see how it works. And I'm just going to use my handheld radio here, and we'll see if we can do this. So this is Shorty, K6JSI in Smith River, and I'm calling a special wind system demonstration. This is going to be kind of a mini roll call where we're going to call some hams and ask them to check in. I'm going to start with the four corners of the U.S. So we're going to start with the southwest corner first, and that would be Steve, K6UFX in Oceanside.
Beautiful San Diego County, Oceanside, and I'd like to welcome everybody to the wind system, and I also just like to throw a quick thank you to all of the volunteers that helped me maintain the Southern California repeater system for the wind system, which comprises of about 28 repeaters and link radios from Fresno to the Mexican border. So I hope all of you enjoy this. So back to Shorty.
Well, Steve is kind of humble, but when I moved out of San Diego 3 years ago, Steve took over the reins, and he's really been doing a marvelous job in Southern California. Let's go to the northwest corner of the U.S., and that would be Seattle, Washington, in Dan, W7TWA.
Well, hello, Shorty. From Seattle here, this is Dan, W7TWA. Kind of a cool day up here, but a nice day nonetheless, and great to be on the wind system tonight. Have a great evening. W7TWA in Seattle.
Thank you, Dan. And my brother Steve lives up there in Mill Creek, N7IBF.
Hello, Shorty and Susan. Yeah, Steve here, N7IBF in Mill Creek, Washington, a little town about 30 miles north and east of Seattle. Currently 46 degrees, got beautiful sunshine, blue skies with cloud, and that's unusual this time of year, even for the spring day. Thank you, Shorty. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Susan and I both turned our heads and looked outside. It's raining here. Down to the northeast corner, and that would be New York. We have Milton set up. I'm sorry, Martin, excuse me, can't even read my writing. KC2SWB.
Southampton, Long Island, New York. I'm located approximately 70 miles east of New York City. Good evening, Shorty. Good evening to those on the net. Beautiful first day of spring here on the East Coast today. Temperature is above the 70 degrees mark, and couldn't ask for a better day. Hope everybody else had the same. This is KC2SWB, back to K6 JSI.
Well, thank you, Martin, from New York, Long Island, New York. Now down to the southeast corner of the United States, that would be near Miami, Florida, or as they say down there, Florida, and that would be Ronald, K4GET.
Well, thank you, Shorty and Susan and everybody listening. This is Ronald, K4GET from Plantation, Florida, and here we're about 2 miles east of the Florida Everglades. And 20 miles south of Miami. Everybody have a great evening.
K4GET. Thank you, Ronald. Sounding good from near Miami. Okay, let's go to Alaska. And we've got a couple, three call signs up there. First, we'll start off with TJ, KB8JXX in Anchorage.
We're 3.3 inches away from setting an all-season snowfall record. And I'm looking forward to it finally warming up. It's been unusually cold. We've been affiliated here in Anchorage with the wind system since, I think, 2002. And we were repeater number 23, and we've loved being a part of the wind system for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it feels like family. So, KBHXX Anchorage.
Well, thank you, TJ. It is family. And as you recall, when we did our Wind System Alaska cruise a few years ago, we had a very enjoyable extra few days stay with you guys. And that was a real joy. All right, a couple more. We've got Eric, KL3DO, in Fairbanks. Go ahead, Eric.
Thank you.
On the wind system. This is Eric, KL3DO, and currently talking to you from my truck out here. It's about 5 to 7 degrees above zero. We started out about 5 below this morning, so it's a pleasant rise and a beautiful afternoon here in Fairbanks. And it's good to be a part of the system here. Thank you for picking me up today, and 7 threes to one and all, KL3DO.
All right, you bet, Eric. Thank you. And now to D, or Miss D, as I call her, in a little cabin fairly close to Anchorage, KL2MY.
Wish I was out of the cabin, but no, I'm in a parking lot surrounded by ravens today on Anchorage. And we're getting real close to that other season there. We call it breakup, and since, as TJ reported, we had quite a bit of snow. We had about 29 inches of snow this year, and that's a lot of snow to melt, so breakup's going to be a lot of fun. And it's time to switch over to our short sleeve long underwear.
Short sleeve long underwear.
It figures. Thank you, Dee. All right, and we need to start giving the day and the time now because we're really going to be stretching things. Let's start out with Hawaii and Paul, WH6FM on Hilo.
Good afternoon, Shorty. This is Paul, WH6FM, and we're located on the Big Island of Hawaii in a town called Hilo. We're the easternmost island in the Hawaiian archipelago. It's beautiful here today, about 80 degrees. It's just about 15 after 3 in the afternoon on the Tuesday. I think it is Tuesday. Yeah, it's Tuesday. Been working too hard today, Shorty. Sure sounding good out there in Smith River. Thanks a lot for giving us a call, and we'll throw it back to you, WH6FM.
And thank you, Paul, from Hilo, Hawaii. And I'd like to call Alan at ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut, W1AGP. It doesn't look like he's tuned in. Let's go to London, England, and our favorite cabbie, Chris, M0DOL.
Hello, everybody on the wind system. A very good morning. It's 1:17 in the morning, just north of London, England. My name's Chris, and I'm M0DOL. I'm driving a London taxi mobile. So welcome to jolly old England. And not forgetting the Queen's Diamond Jubilee this year, and also the 30th Olympiad and the Paralympics here in London, England. Thank you, Shorty, and everybody at the Wind System.
All right, thank you, Chris, from your cab in London, England, where it's Wednesday morning. And let's move to Japan. And yo, and we really want to know what time it is there and what day it is there. JA1 Papa Hotel Hotel.
All righty then. Shelly, hello, Susan, and everybody on the net. This is JA1 PPH, Straight America 1 Papa Papa Hotel. Name is Yo. They call me Tokyo Yo on the Wind System. Local time, now here is 10:20 a.m. Wednesday morning. WX is fine and a little bit windy outside at the moment. Temperature is 45 degrees Fahrenheit, kind of a chill outside. The flower prom blooming at last. After then, a cherry blossom will be soon. So, warm sunlight and beautiful scene will become soon in this area, Tokyo area. Thanks for the calling. You can feel very good female, 5'9 rather than clear. Okay, back to you. Net control. This is JRPPH, Tokyo. Good morning from Tokyo.
Well, good morning, Yo, and thank you. It's good to talk to you on Wednesday morning from Tokyo. Let's go over to Australia, mate. Oh, I should say cheese to Chris. But let's go to Australia and say g'day, mate, to Doug, VK4DW.
And
yeah, hi there, Shorty, and all on the net. This is Doug, VK4DW in Queensland, Australia. We live in a city called Mackay, spelled M-A-C-K-A-Y. Some say it's Mackay, but the guy that founded it was a Scotsman, and he pronounced it I, so I'll pronounce it Mackay. We've had flooding rain here for the last nearly 2 weeks. Had nearly a metre of rain, which I guess is about 40 inches in 2 weeks, which is quite a bit of rain.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's very nice to catch up with you and say hi to everyone there on the Wind System. Great job you're doing there, Shorty. And I can see Susan in the background there as well. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
From VK4DW, Doug, in Australia, where the time is 11:25 a.m. on Wednesday morning. Back to you, Shorty.
Okay, we'll try and figure that out. But thank you very much, Doug. And finally, we have Sydney, Australia, mate. VK2NAB.
Yes, good afternoon, Shorty. This is Victor Kilo 2, November Alpha Bravo in Sydney, Australia. G'day to everyone from down under. I'm located in a town called Penrith, around 60 kilometres west of Sydney. It is 12:25 in the afternoon on Wednesday here, and it's a reasonable 29 degrees Celsius outside. Just in the office working away and enjoying listening to the demonstration. Once again, hello to you, Shorty, and to everyone on Ham Nation. This is Victor Kilo 2, November Alpha Bravo in Sydney, Australia.
All right, mate. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your checking in. All right, that's my list as I have it. Do we have any other stations from exotic areas or exotic places that would like to check into the Wind System?
Wow, that was terrific.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
KL El Paso, Texas.
Okay, we got El Paso, Texas. Your call sign and name, please. All right, I guess we'll forget about El Paso, Texas. Anyone else care to check into the Wind System demonstration tonight?
I just want to say good evening. Shorty. Thank you for being on the Ham Nation there. WB5LJO, El Paso, Texas, where it's cold.
Oh, that's great, Shorty.
Very good. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up. And thanks all for checking into the wind system. And we'll turn off the radio and go back to Ham Nation.
Well, Susan and Shorty, thank you so much. That was one heck of a demonstration. And let me tell you, with just a handheld, able to work the world. That slight delay when he unkeyed and before they started to talk was the IRLP connection. But heck, what's a second or two when you're on a handheld talking all the way around the world? And coming from not quite all the way around the world with the American Radio Relay League that is so responsible for a lot of this setup that we have here is Marty Wall in 6VI, Southwestern Division Vice Director. Well, Marty, thanks for stopping in, and thanks to the ARRL for helping us get this station rolling, Marty.
Well, thank you, Gordon. Good evening. It's good to see you, and good evening to the Ham Nation audience.
Very good. And was it a tough job to get this great call sign, fictitious as it is, for Last Man Standing?
I've never tried that myself, but the folks at headquarters are very good at things like that when something needs doing, and I'm glad they were able to assist.
Well, the American Radio Relay League constantly assists in so many matters, and we are so grateful that they're a part of Ham Radio and is constantly watching over our airways. Is that right?
Well, indeed. The ARL actually, in 2014, turns 100 years old.
Wow.
It is by far the largest and oldest of the amateur radio organizations around the world.
Isn't that something? Well, we certainly encourage all of our Ham Nation listeners to be a member of the American Radio Relay League, get that monthly QST magazine, get access to ham radio equipment insurance. So when you amass all this gear, it's insured.
Indeed. Well, Gordon, I might mention, you referred to the magazine, coming up within just a few months. In fact, I've been beta testing it already. Something that may be of particular interest to our audience on Ham Nation, and that is an electronic version of QST.
Oh, wow.
They've started digitizing the issues with January, and approximately June, every member, as part of their regular benefit, will have the ability to read online and download the entire QST issue. With a function that looks just like a magazine on your screen. You flip the pages, you hear the paper going if you want to.
Oh, that is good news. Well, for our Ham Nation viewers that are tuned into computers, that'll be a great a benefit to them. And thank you so much, Marty. We've got to go to Newsline, and I believe we have Don Wilbanks that's going to give us the latest news, and then we're going to roll over to Amanda. And then Leo Laporte's got something very special for us. So back to the studio and over to Don with Newsline.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1804, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Tuesday, March 20th, 2012. Amateur radio operators in Hardin and surrounding Kentucky counties provided critical communications during and after the severe weather outbreaks February 29th and again Saturday, March 3rd. Hardin County Aries provided weather spotting, logistics, disaster assessment, and shelter coordination assistance. Throughout the severe weather, they were busy maintaining communications with served agencies, with hams in adjacent counties, other Aries units, and the amateur radio station WX4NWS at the Louisville National Weather Service office. In the aftermath of these deadly storms, Hardin County amateur radio operators continued to serve with agencies in affected areas in southern Indiana and eastern Kentucky, providing communications, disaster assistance, and support for ongoing search, rescue, and recovery operations. The long-awaited Internet Radio Linking Project, or IRLP, topic channels have now gone live. IRLP users are now able to log on to reflector channels allocated for interest ranging from DXing to music, media, history, the upcoming 2012 election, and many others. For up-to-date information on the IRLP topic channels, please visit www.irlptopics.net. And to locate an IRLP node near you, go to status.irlp.net. Some breaking news in the world of DX. Political unrest has led to a planned DX operation to Mali being put on indefinite hold. 2 weeks ago, members of the Italian DX expedition team announced that they were planning to be active as TZ5T from Mali from April 12th to the 27th. However, the civil war in Mali between the government and Tuareg insurgents is worsening. Because of this and other concerns, Mali authorities will not issue licenses to radio amateurs who may be targeted because of radio equipment. For updates, please check in regularly to www.i2ysb.com. The nomination period is now open for a number of ARRL awards that are designed to recognize educational and technological pursuits in amateur radio, as well as an award to honor a young amateur radio operator. These include the Herb S. Breyer Instructor of the Year Award for Educators and the Hiram Percy Maxim Award for a licensed radio amateur under age 21, to name only two. Also, the nominating period for our own Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award is now open. For nominating forms and more information, please visit our website, www.arnewsline.org. The Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award will be presented at this year's Huntsville, Alabama Ham Fest, and that's Saturday, August 18th. The International Museums Weekend Special Event Operations will take place on the weekends of June 16th through the 17th, and again June 23rd and 24th. Radio amateurs are encouraged to participate in this event by setting up stations in their local museums. The International Museums Weekend organizer is Harry Bloomfield, M1BYT in Leeds in the UK. He asks that all those intending to take part in the event please register their museum operation at ukradioamateur.co.uk/IMW. This is not only a fun event, but one that permits you to showcase amateur radio to non-hams worldwide. And finally this week, a talk about improving audio on the ham radio bands, given by Ham Nation host Bob Heil, K9EID, has been posted online by M3XYP. Recorded at the United Kingdom 2011 National Ham Fest, the video is in five parts, and you can find it at YouTube.com. Just search for M3XYP, and you'll find it. That's all from Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for nearly 35 years at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73, and we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
All right. Thanks, Don, and thanks for joining us at the Last Man Standing studio, where we're live and direct on Ham Nation. Now, let's go live and direct first with Amanda. Now, recall last week, Amanda had the little doodads that were green for St. Patty's Day that were dancing around her head. So, Amanda, what do you have for us for Ham Tales tonight?
Well, Gordo and everybody else watching, hello, first of all, and demonstration there on the wind system, by the way, you guys. Anyhow, you've heard of Flower Power. Now we're going to hear of Flower Tower. All right. About 7 years ago, I should start with his call sign. This is from November 3, Romeo Oscar Charlie. That's Jim Adams. And he says, about 7 years ago, I put up a 40-foot tower with a two-element beam on top. It really was a beautiful sight, according to him, of course. But I was surprised to find out my wife did not agree with my assessment of beauty. So she said it looked like a big metal spider ready to eat our home. So she had an idea. She planted several morning glory plants at the base of the tower. They started climbing the and twining at the tower, and only after 3 weeks, they reached 30 feet, morning glories, 30 feet. All right. Then his wife said, you're right. It is a beautiful thing. So there you go. That's to our Green Life Flower Tower. Now, I do have a friend that has tried to decorate his tower with his cats, but they don't stick around. So try the morning glories first, you guys.
All right. Well, that's a good one, Amanda. And keep those ham tales coming. And Amanda, we hope that everybody, in fact, Amanda, how about telling our listeners and our viewers where to send their great ham tales?
Thanks, Gordo. We want to have you send them to Ham Tales, and that's T-A-I-L-S at live.com. And for next week, you know, with tornado season coming, disasters, all that good stuff, I'd like to hear how you have helped your community in a disaster. So please send me those great stories. I'm sure they're going to be very heartening for all of us to hear. So I'd love to hear them, you guys. Send them in there. And thanks, Gordo. And hello to everybody out there.
All right. Well, everyone, Amanda, on the stage here at Last Man Standing gives you a warm welcome from sunny Southern California. And yes, ham radio plays a very important part in tornado watches and mitigating some of the comms that get messed up when the big one hits, and providing communications when others are down. Well, let's now go to the main tech guy, Leo, W6. WB6TWT that brings this Ham Nation to you for this very special announcement. Leo?
Oh, hey, guys. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt the Ham Nation. And I'm sorry I'm not here tonight. I'd love to be. That's so cool that you're on the TV show set, Gordo. Man, I want to come down and watch. But I right now want to talk a little bit about Audible.com. Audible. Yes, you guys have a commercial. Wow. Audible has been one of our sponsors for, oh, golly, 4 years? Because, and it all started, I have to say, I'll take credit for it, because I was an Audible customer in the year 2000. So what is Audible? Audible is the ultimate audio bookstore. If you go to audible.com, you could take a look at over 100,000 books. I'm pulling it up right now here. Over 100,000 books, fiction, nonfiction, bestsellers, classics, youth fiction for little kids and young adults. For instance, The Hunger Games, it's coming out in a few days, right? Well, you got to read it. You got to read it. So get it from audible.com. And the nice thing is they'll read it to you. In fact, it's more than your mommy reading to you. I mean, these are they hire the best Broadway actors, the most professional readers who bring a book to life. These are not readings, they're performances. And that's one of the reasons I love Audible. In fact, I'll be honest, when a new book comes out, I look on Audible first because that's my preferred format. Part of the reason is I actually get time to read with Audible.com in the car, at the gym, when I'm doing housework. There's lots of times I'd like to have something to distract me, but I can't hold a book. That's where Audible's so great. I put it on my iPhone, my iPod, your iPad, your Zune, your Kindle, pretty much any device, and you play back the audio and you listen and you don't close your eyes if you're driving, but if you're, you know, while you're on the Stairmaster, you just and you transport it. Right now I'm reading The Amazing Clash of Kings, which is the second book in the Song of Ice and Fire. Maybe you saw Game of Thrones on HBO. Coming back to HBO next month, I wanted to be ready, so I'm reading the second book now before I watch the show on TV. I like to do that. Same thing with The Hunger Games. Before I see the movie, I listen to the book. Audible. Now, here's the deal. If you go to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation, you can get your first book free. Now, Game of Thrones, it's 2 credits, so that wouldn't be a good example, but there are plenty of 1-credit books, including the Steve Jobs biography. Just a ton of great stuff. And by the way, old radio shows, comedy performances, things like that too. Give it a try. Browse around, see what you like, and then give it a try. audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. First book's free. Cancel at any time. Pay nothing. It's yours to keep forever. I think it's a great deal. audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. I got nothing more to say except back to you guys.
All right. Well, thank you, Leo. That was terrific. Audible.com, 100,000 books. And it's not just someone reading to you, but stage actors and actresses as a real live performance. Thanks, Leo. Always great to hear the real TWT on the air. Now, let's go out to Cheryl and see what's new with Cheryl. But we have a question first, Cheryl. Cheryl, we had many in the chat room last week say that the map behind you was upside down. Is that right, Cheryl?
It sure is. It's still upside down. There was a little story I wanted to tell you about down in Australia, and that's still there for me to go over with you. But I did have some quick questions and some announcements I wanted to make that people in the chat room, I wanted to say hi to Leo and hi to Gordo and hi to George. Thank you very much for that information, Leo, about Audible. That was very, very interesting. Gordo, basically, there was a quick one for you about that Audible. I wanted to follow up with you, if I may. They asked you if you are on Audible. They know that you have your own audiobooks, but are your books also available through audible.com?
No, the Gordo books have not yet risen to that stature, but maybe if I get a deep voice like Leo, I'll be able to maybe bluff my way through. But nope, still got to get them through the regular ham channels.
Okay. I did want to say hi to KE5AKC in Houston, Texas tonight. Hi. And also, there's going to be a net, and they asked me to announce it in the chat room on 7.268 megahertz. It's a 40-meter net after the show. And please come in if you have 75-meter capability and say hi on 3850 plus or minus 3 kilohertz, and I'd love to chat with you, too. So I wanted to mention a question about D-Star someone had in the chat room tonight. It says, they asked, do hams feel that D-Star is a threat to the linking systems, or is it complementary and just a different technology? And that's from RFOUST, writes to us through the chat room.
Okay, well, that's such a good question. Let me go to Ray. Ray, what do you think? I don't think D-Star is a threat to that. Do you? What do you think?
Well, I bet many years ago when the guys came up with CW, the Spark guys went, oh, that darn CW is just going to ruin the ham bands. And I'm not old enough to have heard it happen for AM and single sideband, but it's going to be just another mode. People are going to support and enjoy whatever they want to do, and it's all just in fun.
Absolutely. And for emergency comms that Amanda and Cheryl have been talking about, boy, let me tell you, D-Star really makes a difference, huh?
It's one of the tools that you can use for emergency communications, for voice or data, simplex, through the repeater, through the internet. It just really depends on how you want to use it.
And, you know, the radios do analog as well, so you don't have to just do D-Star all the time, right?
No, not at all.
Great. Well, thanks, Ray, for... Oh, I guess I better get this back to you.
Got one.
I sure do. All right. Well, that was good. All right, Cheryl, how about one more brain buster, and then we're going to go over to George and do a little smoke and solder. Cheryl, back to you.
Certainly. Thanks, Gordo. I have a question for you. How should you announce your call sign when away from your home state or country? Was one of the viewers. It wasn't from this week, but it was a good question, and I thought it would be something that you could expound on for us. Thanks.
Well, what I do is when I'm traveling, in fact, next weekend, not this coming one, but weekend after this coming weekend, we'll be at the AES store in Milwaukee. Is that right? Yeah, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I usually just give my call sign and I just say the state. Sometimes I don't even remember what number district I'm in. So I'll just say Portable Milwaukee, Portable New York. Now, for those going overseas, we recommend first work with the American Radio Relay League because they've got a staff person that can assist you in coming up with the right paperwork so you can use your equipment overseas. And I usually say my call sign, Portable, and then that country's prefix. And but be sure that you go with what the ARRL recommends when we're operating in a foreign country. But here locally, I always enjoy just saying the fair, fine state that I'm in. WB6NOA Portable, Southern California. Back to you, Cheryl.
Great. And I do have one more question that someone wanted to know. They have to try D-Star, and they asked, do you have a rig suggestion that they might try? They weren't specific as to handy talkie or bass or mobile. What would be a good starter rig for D-Star without having to necessarily be a dual receive capable radio?
Oh, you know, I think everybody should have one of these great 9100s, right, Ray? Or what do you recommend for someone wanting to start out with D-Star?
It really depends on what they have in their area. If they're lucky enough to have a D-Star repeater that's in the area, find out what frequency. There's some that are 2 meters, 440. I know Julian a few weeks ago unveiled his ID31.
Oh, love that.
Here we go.
My baby. This is my baby. Right here. No, you can't have it.
You could do with one of the ICOM radios, or there's a lot of people that get involved using a DV dongle where you don't have to get on the radio, but you could just listen to what's going on, get active with it, and then look at the various other alternatives that you could do to a radio.
Oh, there you go. Well, Cheryl, those were some great questions from the chat room. I'll let you say goodbye, and then we're going to go over to George and see what he's smoking with his solder today. Cheryl, back to you for a final.
Thanks very much, everyone, for all your questions and input on the chat room. We appreciate your viewing and being part of our chat room. And I will see you, Gordo, on the 30th and the 31st of March up at AES Superfest in Milwaukee. So it's a great show, and I hope everyone can attend. Back to you guys.
Bob Heil, our main host here at Ham Nation, will also be there as well. Well, now let's go to George. And George, what are you brewing up today in your smoke and solder ham shack? George?
Well, Gordo, good to see you and everyone out at the Last Man Standing studio tonight. Got my QSL card here, and maybe we'll have a few more people mail in theirs and get Tim to sign them a copy as well. Well, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I was building a Dremel tool table saw, and I needed to cut some PC board with some real straight edges for a project I had going. I finally got that project completed, and we've got the video for you here this week. A couple of weeks ago, I built the Dremel tool table saw, and I said that I had a project in mind when I was building this. So I've cut out pieces of PC board here, and this week we're going to build a project box for the frequency counter I made several weeks ago. I couldn't find a box the right size for the counter, and I had seen people build boxes from PC board before, so I thought I'd give it a try myself. So I've got a bottom piece here, and we'll solder the sides to that, and we've got a top piece as well. Now, I've never done this before, so let's just see how it goes. Copper clad board usually has a protective film over it, so the first thing we're going to do is take some Scotch-Brite and we'll shine up the edges of this so we can get our solder to stick properly. Of course, we're going to want to tin the boards before we begin, so the first thing we're going to do is use one of my favorite things here, which is a little soldering paste flux that'll really help get that solder to flow. Boy, look at that. When you add this flux, it's almost like painting with a brush. The solder just flows so smoothly and quickly. No problems whatsoever. After we've tinned all the edges, we'll want to use a little denatured alcohol to clean the remaining flux off the board. We won't need it anymore since everything is tinned now, and it just makes for a cleaner project overall. Now we can begin the actual assembly, and we'll start by taking two of the sides and using some masking tape to hold them together. And we'll make sure we got all the corners good and square. And we'll mount this onto the bottom and use masking tape there too. And with the aid of a couple of wood blocks, we should be able to get everything to stay in place while we solder. We'll start by kind of tacking things together. Not quite square. We'll need a little help holding this together while we solder it to get it good and square. So we'll go back and reflow those joints now. Got the basic box built now. Let's see if our lid fits on square, and it looks like it does. I've taken my file and worked on the end piece now so that we can get it to fit recessed inside the end, and that looks good now. So we've come to the hard part. Now we've got to cut holes in the ends for the connectors, and we've got to cut the rectangle in the top for the display to fit through. I thought about this for a couple of days and came to the conclusion that I probably should make a template using some index bond so that I can experiment cutting the hole in it and then lining it up with the board to see if it would actually work. Not being a skilled machinist, that turned out to be a good idea. I made the hole slightly bigger than it needed to be so I'd have some slack to work with. So now I'll use the template to mark on the board where we actually need to cut the hole. I loosened the screw on the end of the Dremel tool next to the blade so that I could raise the blade up, allowing me to slide the PC board under there because I can't start cutting from the edge. I've got to start cutting in the middle. And so I line it up to where it's perfectly in line here, and then I can begin sawing, and I'll make a slit right in the center. I'll push down on the screw now to force the blade into the PC board and cut that initial slit. So we've got that done now, so we'll need to tighten back up the nut to set the blade depth down into the board. Now I'll carefully cut the remaining part of the line, paying particular attention that I don't go past the end mark there and cut into the board in a part that we wanted to save. I didn't cut all the way to the end of the lines on purpose, and now I'll use my X-Acto saw to go in and finish the cuts so that we can remove this center part. The cut didn't come out perfect, so I'll use a file to go in and take off the rough edges and make all the corners square. It looks like we had good results, and the top will fit right over the display now, and there's about the amount of slack in there that I had planned to include. Since the template idea worked out so good for cutting the hole in the top for the display, I decided to make another one for the side for cutting the holes for the connectors and switch. Now we've got the holes cut in that template, and they look pretty good, so we'll take it and mark it on our end piece. And then I'll use this little drill press that came from Jamaco to drill a tiny pilot hole, and I want to make sure that it goes straight and exactly where I want it. After that, we'll move to a larger size drill bit, make the holes a little larger, and finally, I'll take the unibit and trim the holes to the exact size that I want. I'll also use the X-Acto knife to trim the holes a little, and I believe I've got them exactly where they need to be now, and the switch even works. I need some way to mount all this to the case, so I'm going to use these little brass standoffs that are normally used with a computer motherboard. I'll solder those, after tinning them, of course, and we'll put them on the board exactly where they need to be. I soldered the end piece to the top now, and that's ready to go, so we're ready for final assembly. This little project has taken a long time, but at last it's finished. There's our input with the BNC connector, our switch, and it seems to work freely, and there's our power connector. Now it's all together, and the corners are fairly square and tight. I did leave a little gap there at the bottom, but that's not a problem. So let's test this thing out and make sure that the counter still works. And it appears that it does, so no damage done there. Now, we could improve this project by putting some labeling on here as to what everything is, and I might do that in the future. Also, we should put some kind of protective finish over here because the copper will eventually corrode. Now, you could sand it down, paint it, or do whatever you want. But all in all, it took a long time, but that was a fun project. That was a lot of fun, Gordo, and I really enjoyed it. I'd never built one of these before. I had seen people do them online, but never done one myself, and it was a lot of fun, but it did take a long time. So if you're in a hurry, you might want to buy a box, but if you want to have a little bit of fun, try one of these. It was really enjoyable.
All right. Well, thank you, George. And from the set of Last Man Standing, look at all these great QSL cards. And I know yours is up there. We got Bob's QSL card up there. And ham radio operators, again, when you send in for the KA0XTT, and that look that up on QRZ for the address to send in your card, be sure and include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Well, we've had a big day here, and I'm going to invite all of those that make the Tim Allen alias Mike Baxter. Actually, the other way around, Last Man Standing show. Such a success to come on in and get behind here for any last minute. They're just messing with me, folks.
Hey!
Hey!
Wow, hey, look at the light bound. Look at the light bound.
Oh, wow.
Catch him.
They're making off with the probably $5,000 to $10,000 spectrum analyzer.
Say bye.
And Marty's got it. So you never know what's going to happen on the set of Last Man Standing. So let me see which of the girls may still be up for a final goodbye. We've got about 6 minutes. Bob is on tour. George, that was a great presentation. You let no smoke out of the frequency counter, so that was a success. The stage crew, as well as John Amadeo, NN6JA, who is the manager of the entire operation tonight. And he is the one that is making this show happen. They're all out there fighting over that great spectrum analyzer. So let me see if we still have Cheryl with us for a final goodbye. And Cheryl, over to you for a final. You've got about a minute.
Oh, very good. Thank you, Gordo. Thank you, KA0XTT. We really appreciate seeing that set. That's so great. But I do wanted to just go over the upside-down map, that little story. Here it is. Ham Nation has taken to the ham radio airwaves down under. This with word from Ed Durant, VK2ARE, that he has secured permission from twit.tv to replay his weekly show over the VK2RTG fast scan amateur radio, amateur television repeater that serves the central coast of New South Wales, Australia. That's why my map is upside down. According to Durant, planned video casts happen twice weekly. Monday is when the repeater carries the latest Ham Nation. Tuesdays is miscellaneous ham radio video night that can run anywhere from 1 to 2 hours. And finally, Durant ends his note to us by issuing an invitation to anyone visiting New South Wales, Australia, to stop by one of the meetings of the Central Coast Amateur Radio Club. You can find a lot more information about this organization online at www.ccarc.org.au for Australia. Thanks a lot, and thanks for coming and watching Ham Nation. We hope to see you next time. And everybody did such a great job. Bye for now.
Hey, Gordo, let's give away something.
Well, thanks so much, Cheryl. And George, go right ahead. George, over to you.
Well, you know, last week we had a question for a contest. If you were stranded on a desert isle and you had two rigs, a 100-watt HF rig and a 50-watt VHF rig, and you had 100 feet of each RG-8 coax, the larger stuff, RG-58, the smaller stuff, what would you run to each rig? And we had a lot of participation in that contest. A few got it wrong because it was sort of a trick question. But our winner for this week is Paul K9PLG, and he said the best coax to use for HF would be the RG-58, the smaller stuff, which, you know, you might not think because, you know, you're going to be running more power through it. But he said the RG-8 will work better for the VHF because there's less loss in it at higher frequencies. So thanks, Paul, for participating in the contest and winning. And we're going to give you a copy of The Artful Solderer by Lee Tingler, a nice little book here that's got some fun stories and tips for soldering. And for next week's contest, if you were watching Shorty on the Wind System earlier, there was a large refrigerator box-sized item behind him. What was that? Just mail in your answers to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and we'll choose another winner for next week, and that person will win an MFJ 24-hour clock. You really need a 24-hour clock if you're a ham, don't you, Gordo?
You do, and that'll be a great addition. Now, Julian is beaming up at the antenna that helped us make some of these contacts, not only tonight, but here at the Last Man Standing stage. And, boy, what a great deal to be able to have all this gear live. But, you know, what a special night. Susan and Shorty, to be able to pull off what your team members pulled off as a demonstration, not only around the country, but around the world, one after another, just using a handheld transceiver, we were very impressed. So I encourage all of you, if you've not seen or read about the WIN system, take a look, winsystem.org. This is the love of Susan and Shorty. Believe me, they're not making a cent. They're probably spending a lot more money than we even think about just keeping all of these hundreds of repeaters and repeater operators humming with a great interconnect. So thanks so much, Susan and Shorty, for showing us that as a brand new ham, you can literally work the world on a handheld as a member of the WIN system. So from Ham Nation, from the studio, here at Last Man Standing, we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. I'd like to thank Tim Allen, that is Mike Baxter, for this wonderful shirt that I'm wearing tonight, and very 73 to all of you. This is Gordo, WB6NOA, from the studio at Last Man Standing, and we're going to go ahead and tune into the WIN system right now. 73.